You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. Yet you still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is, managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all of your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved them more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.
We're back on Ruthless Aggression, Pierce, Rob, and Chris. We hope you're having a wonderful holiday season. We want to check in with you one last time before you go open your presents and not get that crappy 2K game that you didn't want, that your parents got you just because you know you're a wrestling fan. We've all been there, man. Not much to talk about before we go back to 2005. Of course, we did a show a couple of days ago, so most of it was taken care of there. By the time you listen to this, it's Friday, so you got a little bit of an ease week before Christmas. But one big piece of news did come down, and that is our boy Kevin Owens is staying. We can cue up that video from Wolf of Wall Street. I'm not fucking leaving. Kevin Owens ain't going nowhere, man. Multi-year deal. Securing the bag. Now, of course, you know, pessimists are going to say doesn't necessarily matter, as we've seen over the last 2 years when it comes to big contracts, people getting cut. But what matters more is that Kevin Owens is getting some financial security for his family. And at 39 years old, knowing what we've always known about Kevin Owens, it is securing that bag. And as long as he's getting that bag, I don't think anything else really should matter in his case.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, like, I was surprised initially. I thought he was going to AEW, just kind of, you know, be with his friends. They're doing this Owen Hart tournament cup thing as well. And, you know, he's obviously a big Owen Hart fan. I thought he'd kind of jump in and maybe win that right away. But, like, the more I thought about it, it's like, yeah, I guess it makes sense for him to stay. You know, WWE apparently gave him a bunch of money. He's old or older. You know, clearly, despite what people think, you know, he hasn't racked up title reigns, but I think he is treated pretty well there. He's presented pretty well. He kind of has reminded me of like a Mick Foley type, where, you know, he kind of puts everything into anything they put him into. You know, the fans will always support him. You know, he's always in the title hunt, but hasn't really, like I said, racked up the reins, but that's not always what it's about. Yeah, so the more I thought about it, I'm like, you know, this makes sense. I understand why he's staying. And I think from their standpoint, like, I think losing Brian, because I think they kind of took advantage. I thought he'd just be back, just all things considered. And then when he left, it was like, hey, you know, we have to actually make more of an effort to keep our guys that we consider top guys, especially if you're going to do these cuts. Like, the guys that you do see as big-time players become that much more important.
Yeah, I think that goes into it. I think that they felt they probably couldn't lose all their, you know, upcoming free agents. And Kevin Owens, I think, is somebody who you can banter, rant, rave about about the title reigns or whatever. But obviously, he's somebody who they've been high on since the first day that he wrestled on the WWE Network at NXT TakeOver Our Revolution.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that night he was made, and then 6 months later, or 5 months later, I should say, he's already on the main roster beating John Cena.
So yeah.
They've always held that man in high regard. He has been, for a while, he was a champion more often than he wasn't. And like you said, he puts a lot into everything that he's doing. I like what he's been doing on Raw as a heel. I think that even though it was nice to see him work as a babyface for a bit, I think heel is his best role, and he's killing it now again.
Mm-hmm.
And know, I think people, while people may have wanted to see, you know, him become Kevin Steen again or whatever, I was always on the fence of if he was going to leave or not, because like for him, it feels like he has sort of made enough adjustments and become a more WWE-ified, you know, performer versus, you know, some people who in NXT, like Adam Cole or even Kyle O'Reilly, who I expect to move on to AEW soon enough. You know, they never got to the main roster, but they always felt like they fit a different aesthetic versus what, you know, AEW does. And there's nothing wrong with that. I just thought that was my one big hang up with saying, yeah, maybe he'll go. Like, he's old. Like you said, he's 39. Like, it's not super old, but like, you know, given how long he's gone and done this for, he probably has a lot of tread on his tires. Wouldn't shock me if this was his last contract, cashed in. And that works well for him. Good for him.
Yeah. I mean, I think part of it was like, I thought, you know, AEW doesn't have house shows, so maybe he'll just go there because it's a little bit of an easier, lighter schedule too. But like, again, you can't fault him. And you can't really fault AEW, I don't think, for not, you know, matching whatever WWE was throwing at him. I don't think either side necessarily is in the wrong here. I mean, that's the thing.
No, like, I agree. And I think that the thing that you just mentioned, they couldn't match it. No, that was reported in the Fightful Select report about Owens re-upping.
Mm-hmm.
I think that point, quietly, it is a major point. I think, you know, everyone who wants AEW to gobble up everybody who casts away from WWE, whether it's through release or through contract expirations, maybe cool your jets a little bit. They can't, nobody can sign whoever they want except for WWE, because their money is long. They've been running this thing for 50 plus years, going on almost 70 now, even possibly even longer than that. It's different. I know that everyone's like, yeah, Tony Khan, he's a billionaire, this, that, yeah, but allocating resources, it sometimes stretches things, and they've already been gobbling up all the Ring of Honor castaways and whatnot. It's like,
well, not all of them, but yeah, I them, do
they've
think
been they've been gathering a lot.
Yeah, I think a good amount of good them amount will end of, up there. Yes,
so but you know, they if a couple things come off the books, you know, whatever, do what they got to do then. But like, I'm not surprised. WWE probably knew that they could offer that kind of money, and it got to that point. And they're probably going to be satisfied with the investment. I don't see how they wouldn't be.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you know, it's good for him. He is, by all accounts, you know, great person.
Yes,
and,
I've heard plenty of glowing things from people who work with the company and whatnot. So
yeah,
I've never heard a bad thing about him.
No, absolutely. He's a guy that, you know, you want to root for, and I'm happy for him. You know, again, for me, like, it was as simple as I'm gonna just watch him on a different night of the week if he goes. But like, it's cool. Like, he's gonna be a featured player, I think. You know, again, it's easy to be cynical and be like, oh, he's just gonna get cut or whatever anyway. But I don't know. I mean, you know, I think that's a
silly point to make.
Yeah.
Just because, like, yeah, they got rid of Bray and they got rid of Braun, but like, I think that there were some extenuating circumstances with Bray that we'll probably never know. But well, with Braun also, it's like, I think with regards to him, like, to talk about it sort of, I guess, in a sports term, it's sort of like when the NBA had the Supermax or whatever in 2016, mm-hmm. people were able to cash in. I think Braun was someone who was able to do that, and maybe they just felt like they overpaid him.
We'll never know until Bray's on Talk is Jericho next week, when he off his Winter is Coming debut. I'm happy for Kevin Owens, though. You know, again, I'm glad he cashed out, got his money, and you know, does this change things? Does this make him a contender to win the Royal Rumble? It could. I mean, you know, the only thing with that for me is, you know, we saw him have his feud with Roman already last year. And, you know, he's currently in this feud with Big E. I don't think he's going to win it day one, but it wouldn't surprise me if he gets another, you know, sustainable title reign, especially because he's going to be there long term now.
I wouldn't be shocked either.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing too, like, and you brought it up. Like, you do wrestle differently in AEW, and maybe you didn't want to do that. Like, we're seeing with Danielson, where he's kind of let the go back to what he's been doing before he went to WWE. And I mean,
and if you will occasionally do that, but he'll pick his spots. He'll do it in the matches where the spots will dictate. He doesn't do it all the time.
Well, I don't know
he
if you have saw that
burning desire to break his body all the time.
No, and I don't know if you saw too, like he did the senton off the apron the other day and just landed on his back on the floor. And he said on Twitter, like that was one of the most painful bumps he's took. And that just kind of feels like a simple thing compared to what he's done in Ring of Honor. So yeah, he's getting older too. And I mean, if you go back and watch those Ring of Honor matches, I don't think he can work like that anymore. Cause no. some of the stuff he was doing, like, especially, you know, against El Generico, like that's really the only stuff I've really gone back and watched. But even that stuff, like they're both just doing crazy stuff. And even in the Money in the Bank matches, Owens has historically just been doing crazy stuff. Yeah, so yeah, he might just be,
that's once a year.
Yeah. He might just be, you know, not looking to do that anymore. And that's fine. You know, I don't think it should be made a big deal that he chose to stay, and I'm not making it a big deal. Like, you know, some people are, but it's just, I don't see the reason for that.
I mean, it's normal for wrestling wars, especially if AEW doesn't come out on winning favor of that. But I mean, if you've listened to anything KO has said over the years, you knew that this was the way. You know, there's nothing that Tony Khan could offer Kevin Owens that he could not make, if not double, in WWE. And true, it might come with more dates, it might come with more restrictions, all of that. It doesn't seem like that matters to KO. What matters to him is setting his family up for future. And hey, it's not going to hurt if I take less sillier bumps than I probably would working matches with the Young Bucks and Adam Cole and all of that. You know, I people put too much into it and, oh, they're best friends, da, da, da. You could be best friends and not have to work together. I mean, we do it in our regular lives.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why do these folk have to do it in a professional? So, I mean, above all else, man, we're just glad that KO got his bag.
And oh,
he's
yeah.
continuing to, you know, as it seems, he's going to continue to be a major player on Raw. They're going to have him in that big match at day one. And, you know, I'm very interested in to see what happens to him moving forward. I don't think anybody could say that Kevin Owens has, you know, been wronged by WWE. I think the only mistake you could point to happened almost five years ago. You know, but that's really the only thing I could say about KO's WWE career in a negative light.
Are you talking about when he lost to Goldberg?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, even that, though, like, I don't know that Brock and Goldberg match needed the title. I don't know that it was good without the title, and maybe like Jericho. And,
well, I'm just saying it from independent in KOs,
mm-hmm.
you know, and what it did for him.
That's fair.
Like, I that might be the only negative that you could say WWE's did to his mm-hmm. run in the company.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it seems like too, like he's the guy that, you know, if he wants a few weeks off, he's able to just take it. So he was already able to do that, I think, even before he got a new contract.
And I mean, even remember, he's the one who had been pushing for people to get fined if they were going out without masks or whatever.
Yeah.
Last year, he went to the Performance Center, kind of aired some people out. Same thing with people on the main roster as well. So, I mean, Vince listened to him because he went to Vince to tell him
that. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. Yeah, but no, I mean, I'm glad he's staying. It's, you know, it'll be interesting to see what they do with him now. Like I said, I don't know if they're going to, you know, go with a title right away or what the deal is going to be there. But yeah, we'll have to see. And I mean, really, as far as new stuff for this week, since we just spoke the other day, we don't have a whole ton of other stuff left.
No, not really. I mean,
I think Roddy Strong and Bron Breakker was very good. We expected it to be. It was very good.
I think that was Bron's best match so far.
I think Ivy Nile's going to be NXT Women's Champion next year. I think we're probably going to do predictions in a couple weeks.
Yeah, this is a bold prediction there.
Yeah. She's got it, man. I'm sold.
Well, Cora Jade's got a nice little face push coming. I don't think she's going to win the title, but they got a position really well.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, and I mean,
I gotta be honest also. I know we had talked about it on Sunday. We thought it was weird what they did with Grayson and Gargano.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They might have something there.
Yeah.
They really might have
something. I think they did a good job kind of explaining that. And, you know, unfortunately, we don't have any really new updates on Gargano. He's on Twitch now, but he didn't really say anything when he did the stream. Probably going to be away for a while. Kyle O'Reilly, I imagine, will show up in AEW before probably the end of the year. But
I wouldn't be surprised if it was by the end of the show that we're doing.
Right yeah, now. Exactly. But yeah, no, I don't think anything else happened. I mean, Lashley got added to the match at day one, which we kind of thought was going to happen.
Yep.
But yeah, I think that's because they didn't announce Liv and Becky, right?
Or they did.
Okay.
They did.
So they're doing that again. That should be good. But yeah, no, I think that's it for current stuff. We go back to 2005 already, if you guys are ready.
I'm fine with
that. Yeah. Got pay-per-view this week.
We do have pay-per-view this week.
Armageddon.
Final pay-per-view of the year 2005.
The span of, what, 3 pay-per-views in about 5 weeks?
Yeah. We did start of November with Taboo Tuesday and Survivor Series.
Well, no, I was even talking just here to the Rumble.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah, you're right.
Because, you know, New Year's Revolution
is
coming. And
yeah.
But yeah, get into it here. The top 5 songs, kind of. Oh, no, we got a couple new ones. Soul Survivor is the number 5. Photograph by Nickelback is up to number 4. Gold Digger is down to 3. Laffy Taffy is up to 2. And Run It is still at number 1.
Laffy Taffy is making a very, very strong push.
Yeah, I didn't look ahead. I think it gets to number 1.
I think so, too. I'm not totally certain, but I think it does.
And then for movies, number 5 is Walk the Line. Number 4 is Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. Number 3 is Syriana. Number 2, opening at number 2 is King Kong. And opening at number 1 is The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, The Chronicles of Narnia. I'll tell you right now, King Kong is going to be number 1 next week because it was huge. Also 3.5 hours.
Yes.
But, and then we do have one big wrestling story, and that is that Sting has signed a 1-year deal with TNA, and he's going to feud with Jeff Jarrett. And kind of like the first big TNA splash, I think, as far as guys that, like, they didn't home grow, you know?
Well, because he was like, already there.
Well,
as we know,
to an extent, sort of, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but as far as like.
This is obviously different.
This is a big deal. Like, because, you know, Raven was there. He was kind of a big thing. But Sting was the first, like, major, major star they brought in. And we'll see them keep doing that over the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. So. Because he came in at Turning Point, they announced him.
Yeah,
because
they did a thing at the end of the show, I believe it was,
mm-hmm.
or at the end of one of the impacts where his like jacket and bat were in the center of the ring.
Yes. Do you want to go through the NFL real quick here?
Yeah, let's go through the NFL. I have no problem with that. From December 11th, that would mean that it is...
It's week 14.
Week 14. Let's see. The Bears' win streak ended as the Steelers beat them 21-9. This was also a game where Jerome Bettis scored 2 touchdowns in a driving snowstorm, apparently.
Yeah.
Do you remember that game?
I think that's the game where there's like a famous picture of Bettis and Urlacher, I believe that's the
one.
Yeah.
The Bengals beat the Browns 23-20.
Oh, you talking about that picture where he muffed the shit out of Brian Urlacher?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, that was the game.
Yes.
I still have visions of that. There's certain plays in Bears history that you just remember. And 2 of them specifically happened to Brian Urlacher. This one, and then Rob, I want you to guess the other embarrassing moment that happened to
Brian Tom Urlacher. Brady juking him out.
Yeah. Yep. There it is. There it is.
Okay, the Bengals beat the Browns. Shane Graham kicked a 37-yarder to win the game. The Colts clinched the number 1 seed in the AFC and became the 4th NFL team to win their first 13 games as they beat the Jaguars 26-18. Chris Brown missed a 31-yard field goal on the final play of the game as the Titans beat the Texans 13-10. Let's see. There was lake effect snow off of Lake Erie, I should say, but the Pats beat the Bills still 35-7. Let's see.
Oh, I just realized the Bengals are 10-3. I realize what year this is.
Oh, yes. Yes.
That's going to be a bummer.
Yeah, that's a bummer. That's a huge bummer. Marques Tuiasosopo was sacked 6 times and the Jets picked him off twice. They beat the Raiders 26-10. Mm-hmm. Ryan Fitzpatrick threw 5 interceptions as the Vikings beat the Rams 27-13. The Fitzpatrick cycle is already quickly going through.
God, he was there already in 2005?
Yes, remember? Because he came off the bench a couple weeks ago. We talked about it. The Rams won, so this is already – the Fitzpatrick cycle is already viciously going through, arguably quicker than it ever has. The Giants beat the Eagles 26-23. Jay Feely hit 4 field goals, including the game winner in overtime. That means that the Eagles are eliminated from playoff contention, which means that for the 4th consecutive year, the NFC champion from the previous year failed to make the playoffs.
Wow.
So that means that the Eagles didn't make the playoffs in 2005. The Panthers didn't in 04. The Bucks didn't in 03, and the Rams didn't in 02.
Yeah.
That is correct.
But the Seahawks will next year because they lose to the Bears in the divisional round.
Correct. Let's see if there's anything else here. Let's see. The Cowboys beat the Chiefs 31-28. Drew Bledsoe threw a 1-yard touchdown pass to Dan Campbell. And then Lawrence Tynes missed a 41-yard field goal as time expired. I don't think that that's the same Dan Campbell.
No, it is.
Is it?
Yeah, it almost has to be. He's his tight end, right? So
I guess so.
Yeah.
Wow, that's actually really funny. Okay. Chris Chambers had another big day for the Dolphins. He had caught 8 passes for 121 yards and 2 TDs as the Dolphins beat the Chargers 23-21. And Sam Congato rushed for 171 yards. And a kick by Ryan Longwell.
What a fucking name.
The Packers a 16-13 win over the Detroit Lions.
Oh, my God. That's a name. Packers, right? He's on the Packers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was he in that weird space between Amon Green and
Ryan Grant?
Packers. Yeah. Ryan Grant, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow, since it was crazy. Bernard Morency.
Yes.
Oh, also, real quick. On Saturday, Reggie Bush won the Heisman Trophy.
Nice.
Give it back to him. And in addition to that, #1 Duke beat #2 Texas 97-66 at the Meadowlands. J.J. Redick scored 41 points, including 9 3-pointers.
A fucking man in college. Who would have been on that Texas team? LaMarcus
Aldridge.
But there was other folks on that Texas team.
Yeah, there definitely had to have been other ones.
Probably T.J. Ford.
No, T.J. Ford was 03.
T.J. Ford was a few years back. It was P.J. Tucker, LaMarcus Aldridge, Daniel Gibson,
Booby,
yeah, and Brad Buckman and Canton Paulino.
That's a good team.
I know that.
It is a really good team, yeah.
That's a pretty solid squad, and then they got KD the next year.
They made the Elite Eight.
Yeah, there you go.
They lost to LSU in overtime.
I remember thinking Booby Gibson was the point guard LeBron needed.
Same. All right, let's see here. So we can get into – did we talk about Monday Night Football? I don't think we did.
We not.
The Falcons defeated the Saints 36-17.
36-17, yep. Michael Vick threw 2 touchdown passes and ran for a 3rd, but got injured in the 4th quarter.
Ooh. Not great.
Not great at all. I don't know why he was in there in the first place. Also, major news that will have a big impact in the world of the NBA. Pat Riley will return to coaching as the interim coach after the Miami Heat coach Stan Van Gundy resigned.
Well,
I wonder how that will turn out for the Heat.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Heat at this, I wonder, weren't the Heat like off to a bad start that year too?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, no, they weren't good. And I mean, Stan left because Pat Riley was basically just calling the shots anyway.
Yep, exactly.
All right, get into Raw.
Wait, that happened this week? I'm sorry. That happened this week?
It did, yeah.
Oh, wow. I remember.
13-10 start.
Yeah, they were really bad to start the season. I didn't think that at the time, I didn't think that it was Stan's fault. But I mean, obviously. They went on to win a championship, so they just needed the right dude to just kind of manage everybody. And, you know, Stan has been polarizing in his three spots he's been since. He's been polarizing in each one. But I definitely think that given time, they would have been able to right the ship, and they still wouldn't be able to come out of the East, because the East was garbage that year. It wasn't going to be Detroit again. Yeah. That's for damn sure. LeBron wasn't coming out. The Heat definitely, it's just a matter of, will they be able to get the same calls that they got in the finals?
Yeah.
Which I think they would have. So, yeah, but I remember that vividly, because I was a mini Heat fan at the time, because I loved Wade.
Mm-hmm.
Wade was my guy, and you know, ultimately it worked out, because Pat's a fucking mastermind, and Pat knew you know, the best scheme to put forward, especially defensively. Just look back the guys they had on the squad. You had GP, who was coming off the bench for Jason Williams.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say James, I can't remember if James Posey was starting. I want to say he was a sixth man for Antoine Walker. James Posey was a sixth man for Antoine Walker. So like they had a heavy defensive presence that grew throughout the year, and Pat knew how to make the guys work. So it worked out for Miami.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so we get into Raw December 12th, 2005 from the Fleet Center in Boston.
I forgot that it was still the Fleet Center at this point.
Yeah, man.
They changed that name pretty late.
Mm-hmm.
Vince, also one of the rare cases where changing the name actually was for the better.
Yeah. Yeah. TD Garden is a good name.
Sucks. TD Garden is good. I remember when it was TD Bank.
Yeah. I mean, I think Boston Garden is the best name.
Oh, but, of course. You know. Yeah. But I mean, that's kind of why, because it gives you the feeling of the older.
Right? Yeah. It's supposed to be a pretty nice place. I've never been there.
But, I've never been there either. I've heard good things.
Vince is here to open the show. Last week they took out the trash and Eric Bischoff is going to stay fired. But Vince would like to wish Eric and his family a very Merry Christmas. Vince has some ideas as to who will be the new GM of Raw, such as Stephanie or Shane or maybe Theo Epstein.
They really get to the Boston crowd the entire night.
Oh, yeah. Said that it could even be one of the fans, but then he says just ribbing, it's not going to be one of the fans. he's going to be the interim GM tonight. By the end of tonight, we'll know everyone in the Elimination Chamber match at New Year's Revolution, starting with our first qualifying match, Kurt Angle against Ric Flair. And, you know, pretty good back and forth. And then Angle brings a chair in the ring and Flair blocks it. And the ref goes to get rid of it. But Kurt takes the gold medal and wraps it around his knuckles and gets the win that way. Good.
Is Ric Flair getting punished for getting arrested and making an ass of himself?
He should be. But, you know.
After the match, Kurt got on the mic. He was mad that you suck chants are back. Every single week he comes out for them and he has to listen to them, but not anymore. And then we go down the chute here. He says next week Raw is in Afghanistan. He didn't volunteer to go over there, though. Why would he? The troops represent a country that doesn't respect him. He won an Olympic gold medal. What have the troops ever done? Nothing. If they catch Bin Laden, then maybe he'll go over there and sign some autographs. But until then, no.
My God.
And he talks about how Boston's hometown heroes are a basketball player or a hockey player. Daivari's outside the Fleet Center where there's statues of Bobby Orr and Larry Bird. He goes to spray paint them, but John Cena intervenes because, of course, you know, they're desperate at this point to try and get Kurt booed, and they're going to go through every single length, and it's going to get only more controversial as time goes on.
Yes.
And Cena says that without the troops, there's no America, and without America, there's no American heroes, like Kurt Angle. So,
yeah.
Because we're going down this dumb route,
you know.
And then backstage, Edge and Leader rightly made fun of Ric Flair for being an asshole.
Yes. Shelton
Benjamin is the proper summation of that segment.
Exactly. Shelton Benjamin is with Shawn Michaels. Shawn asked him for attitude last week and he gave him attitude and Shawn left him hanging. Shawn says, you know, that's not what happened. And Shelton says that Shawn wanted to be the showstopper instead of a team player, and Shawn was selfish and, you know, didn't break up the pin when Shelton was getting pinned. He just kind of looked on. And Shelton's going to go take care of business against Carlito tonight, qualify for the Elimination Chamber, and he hopes that Sean also makes it.
Hey, can we go back to Ric Flair? We ain't finna talk about that cockamamie ass comment he had about Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, you know, like, listen, I can understand why he thinks that, I guess, just kind of considering when he wrestled. But also, if you watch Bryan against Triple H and you're like, oh, that's Triple H making Bryan and not kind of the other way around, because it's very clearly a Bryan match, a Triple H is wrestling. It's not a Triple H match.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. I don't know what you're watching. And like, to be like, oh, he's not as good of a babyface as Ricky Steamboat, which, I mean, okay, sure.
You know, Ricky Steamboat couldn't work in today's era.
Yeah.
I'm keeping it flat out blank period with you. The Ricky Steamboat we saw in the 80s will get the shit boot out of him right now. Mm-hmm. White meat as hell. He would not be able to last in his in the incarnation that he was at. Like, let's not even try to pull that, Rick. You know, I understand you're bitter and you feel like you have to do all these things to keep the other sides of you relevant, the yeah. parts that you would rather people know. But now you're just coming off like, I'm not even gonna say that because that's wild. Rick just needs to go sit and grab your depends and go sit in your fucking room and do whatever, but just shut the fuck up. Shut up.
And he was still at the Tyron Woodley Jake Paul thing today, so workout or whatever they were doing. So, you know,
fucking cares.
I know.
Go take a job with Barstool Sports. You would fit in well there.
Yeah. So, you know, Shelton hopes that Sean makes it too, so they can meet in the Elimination Chamber. So we move on to Shelton against Carlito, which, you know, they run this match a lot, but it was good. Shelton gets right to it when Carlito gets in the ring because, you know, he's fired up and does a sunset flip and goes to pin Carlito, but Carlito holds on to the ref so he can't flip him over, which I thought was good. Haven't really ever seen that. Shelton has a T-bone suplex, but instead of going for the pin, he goes and gets the apple and he's going to spit it at Carlito and he leans down and gets rolled up. I mean, so what they're doing with Shelton, I get it and I like it. I don't like where it ends up going. But, you know, you can see what they're trying to do. It just, you know, ends up getting very dumb. Trevor Murdoch pitches that he should be Raw GM. Ben says he'll consider it. And then Candace also pitches that she should be Raw GM. And Kurt and Daivari come in, say they need to talk to Vince right now. We go to commercial. When we come back, we get Big Show against Shawn Michaels in another Elimination Chamber qualifying match. Their only singles match ever, which was surprising.
It is, especially when you consider the fact that they were around for as long as they were and typically on the same show too.
And feud for a good portion of next year.
They do.
So,
and that's crazy that they never had a singles match.
Yeah. I mean, you know, they do a lot of the big guy versus little guy stuff in this match. And then late in the match, Big Show chokeslam Sean. Triple H comes out with a chair. And as Sean's outside, Triple H hits him, preventing Big Show from winning the match.
Which, I always love when they run that trope.
Yeah, it's great. They did
it. It's a great, smart trope. It just is. They did it with
Owens and Rollins did that the other day.
That was fantastic. It made Owens look great. Same with the fact that on Monday, Owens tapped out quickly to Lashley's Hurt Lock. He didn't give him the satisfaction.
Yeah.
I like when they do smart shit like that. It's fun. It rewards the viewer.
Yeah, because, you know, watching this, you're like, they've really built Big Show up, but Sean's probably going to win, right? And this is the way you get there.
Exactly.
Kurt Angle wants to make a statement tonight in front of Cena's hometown fans. Vince tells Angle that stop making demands, stop yelling. He's not Eric Bischoff. Cena's going to face Daivari tonight in a You Can't See Me match, and Cena will be blindfolded, so the match won't be very good.
Pretty much. Then we get an Elimination Chamber qualifying match between Chris Masters and Viscera. God help us all. Roz McCart is so fucking bad.
Yeah, you know, they're
still... couldn't they have just put Chavo in this spot instead of Viscera?
Well, you don't want Chavo to lose, I don't think, because, you know, all things
even
considered.
If he does, then, you know, okay, so what?
Yeah. I was going to say
take a fucking chance on Chavo. Who cares?
I was gonna say you could put like Tajiri, but they it was his last night with the company, and they sent him off with a win on Heat. Yeah, so,
but seriously, who fucking cares? Make it Chavo instead of Chris Masters.
Yeah,
you've had Masters be in the spotlight for a while. Okay, whatever. Who cares?
I'm trying to get him over. He's 22 or whatever. So
okay, but again, if you're trying to get more footing for Chavo, why not put him in the chamber match?
Yeah. Yeah.
Stick your neck out for fucking
that. That's fair.
Do something different. I dare you to do something bold. Nobody cares about Viscera at this point.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's just, I don't know. I'm begging for Raw's mid-card to pull and take a risk like they do on SmackDown.
Trish was going to tell Mickey that, you know, she has to tone it down a little bit and stop being so obsessive and weird, but Mickey told a really nice story about how much Trish means to her, and Trish couldn't do it. Matt Stryker's here. He's got a teacher gimmick, and it's not very good. He says some real.
I think this. I vaguely remember this game getting better. So hopefully this is. We get off to a better start.
Yeah, hopefully, because this one is rough.
Yeah, this one. Very bad. Chris Nowinski was backstage.
Yeah.
Pitching to get the GM job, and then we see Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah, why not, man? You know,
people. Oh yeah, he showed up at Homecoming, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I thought. Yes, so it's the second time in like 2 months that he's been around.
Yeah. Mickey and Victoria are in a number one contenders match, and go through the match, and Mickey gets a victory. So she's going to face Trish at New Year's Revolution.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Wonder how that will go. Then we get an Elimination Chamber qualifying match between Triple H and Kane. Kane went for the big boot, but Triple H ducked, and so we get a rough bump, of course. Triple H went for the sledgehammer. However, Big Show came out to even the odds, and Kane and Big Show double choke slammed him, and Kane got the win. Didn't have a problem with that, especially since Triple H basically did the equivalent of fucking around and finding out.
Yeah.
He got involved in Big Show's match before, did not think that he was going to get any repercussion for it because he's Triple H. Well, guess what? Sucks to suck.
Yeah, kind of like you've talked about, this probably is the best that Kane and Big Show were booked. I mean, Big Show, when he was champion, was probably when he was with Heyman, but that was probably a little better. But this is
easily, I mean, you know, he had some good stuff when he was U.S. champ, going to Cena, he made Cena look like $1 million. I mean, right when he got there, like, he wasn't, I feel like they didn't even know what to do with him at first.
No, they didn't.
So this is easily the most dominant he's looked by far. Heyman did as much as he could with the spot that he worked in, but this is the best he's looked so far. And Kane, again, the only thing that rivals this is his arrival and then the 2003 stuff we covered.
Yeah.
He just looks like a fucking monster. It's awesome.
It's time for John Cena against Daivari, You Can't See Me match. John Cena's a champion in Boston, which has become a city of champions around this time.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Cena eventually finds Daivari with support from the fans and makes him tap to the STFU. Angle goes to attack him after, but Cena fights back, and Angle leaves, and Daivari gets the FU, and that is how we end Raw, which was actually pretty good.
It was. I really enjoyed this show.
Yeah.
Despite my one complaint about Viscera.
Yes.
All right, so midweek stuff. In the world of track and field, Tim Montgomery was banned for 2 years for a rumored use of performance-enhancing drugs as a result of his involvement in the Balco scandal. His world record was removed from the record books as well. Christy Gaines also was given a similar penalty for her involvement, so we're still feeling the trickle down from Balco.
Yep.
On Wednesday, there wasn't too much. Cuba was not able to participate in the 2006 World Baseball Classic. As of now, the Treasury Department ruled them ineligible.
Holy shit, we're coming up on the first World Baseball Classic.
Yes, that's, we are.
Yes, crazy. We are.
Oh. It was such a cool concept when it first came out. And it I don't was. Know how to feel about it anymore.
And also on Friday, there wasn't too much going on except for match day in UEFA Cup. We still have a long way to go because they're still in group play. Found this interesting. Appalachian State defeated Northern Iowa 21-16 to win the NCAA 1AA National Football Championship, the first title for the Mountaineers and the school's first NCAA title in any sport. Well, gee, I wonder what they'll do.
Wait, so this is pre-FCS
when
it was 1AA, and this is the first ever 1AA title.
They parlayed
that into, wow.
Yeah.
Because a couple years later, the Michigan upset. And I think by 2012, 2013, they're D1 official. Yeah. Both subdivisions. So, yeah, no, it's pretty rad. That's a pretty rad little. Who'd they beat?
They beat Northern Iowa.
Yeah. Makes sense. And so what conference would they have been in? Appalachian State is Virginia. So yeah. What would that be like?
North Carolina.
North Carolina. So what's that? The Colonial doesn't have a conference. What conference would they have been in?
That's a great question.
Yeah, because
Let's see. They were in the SoCon.
Oh, okay.
In the Southern.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgot about the SoCon. Okay, they probably dominated SoCon. And so now they're in Conference USA?
No, now they're, I believe they're in the American now.
Are they?
Either that or the Sun Belt. One of those.
Either one is better than the Conference USA. Yeah. Still, that's crazy.
Yeah, they're in the Sun Belt.
There we go. Yeah. There we go. They're in the Sun Belt.
Yeah. I mean, good for them, you know?
They leveled up. They leveled up big time. Just a couple notes from Saturday, and then we'll move on to SmackDown. Wayne Gretzky took an indefinite leave of absence due to his mother suffering from lung cancer. Rick Tocchet will serve as interim coach. I don't know if I got the name right. Rick Tocchet, Rick Tocchet. Let's see. There were three NFL games.
Tocchet's right. It's Rick Tocchet.
Yep, there we go, Tocchet. The Pats beat the Bucs 28-0. The Patriots held the Buccaneers to only 30 rushing yards and sacked Chris Sims 7 times. They clinched the AFC East. The Giants beat the Chiefs 27-17. Tiki Barber ran for 220 yards, which was the team record at the time, and 2 touchdowns. He outdid Larry Johnson, who had 167 yards and 2 TDs for the Chiefs. Also, the Broncos beat the Bills 27-17. Rod Smith caught 11 passes, 9 of which came in the first half, for 137 yards and a TD. Denver clinched the AFC West with that victory. There were 3 notable games in college basketball. Tennessee beat Texas 95-78. So 2 bad weeks in a row for the Longhorns.
Yeah.
Kentucky beat Louisville in their annual tussle, 73-61. Kentucky was ranked 23rd at the time, Louisville 4th. They lost to Indiana the week prior, 79-53. So they bounced back in a big way. And Louisville was no longer undefeated. And Rajon Rondo had 21 points. And finally, UCLA beat Michigan 68-61. The Bruins went to 8-1 with their only loss coming to 5th-ranked Memphis at the time. Michigan also was 7-1, so they were off to a 7-0 start.
Mm.
That's it.
Yeah, there we go. So we can get to SmackDown.
Yes, we can.
From Springfield, Massachusetts, which is a town they would run every so often. There's a different building than they would run. They usually run the Springfield Civic Center, but I don't think they run it too much anymore because they just run other places. But
and they only really do Boston and Worcester now, it feels like.
Also, Velocity had a match between Jamie Noble and Tommaso Whitney, who is Tommaso Ciampa. Which,
wow.
Yeah. So.
Wow.
Good stuff there.
There you go.
So we open with a match on SmackDown, which we've been doing the past couple weeks. Boogeyman's in action against Nunzio. Boogeyman gets the win with worms in his mouth the whole time. Very strange guy.
He sure is.
Bob Orton tells Randy that he set up a sports psychologist for him to talk with. Randy says that ever since last week, he hasn't been right. Can't sleep. He sees Undertaker everywhere. Psychologist asks about Hell in a Cell. Randy says it changes people. They're trapped with nowhere to go. Psychologist says that it seems like Randy has a tough decision to make between life or death. Batista's in his locker room and Melina comes in. Mercury and Nitro are excited to face Rey and Batista tonight, but they have a big match on Sunday at Armageddon. So what if Batista doesn't face them tonight? Melina says she'll make it worth his while. Forgot about this. It's not good. It doesn't really get to play out because Batista's back explodes in 2 weeks, but yeah, not ideal.
Mm-mm.
Problematic.
Very problematic. Just very pointless.
Kid Cash is in action against Super Crazy. Gets a victory, then goes and gets a chair, and he's going to hit a brainbuster on the chair.
You know, God bless them for really trying with the Cruiserweight stuff right now.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, they're definitely giving it something.
Mm-hmm.
You can't argue that. I mean, with this these post-match beatdowns or whatever by Cash, really turning him into an asshole.
Yeah, and then the Mech Schools came out and made the save, so he didn't do a brainbuster on Super Crazy on the chair. Randy comes out of the psychiatrist's office and tells Bob it went well. He knows what he has to do now. Batista and Melina are getting dressed. Melina wants to make sure they have a deal. Batista says that they don't, but, you know, thanks for the warm-up for his match. Yeah, it's not great.
Definitely did not to do that. It's a good thing that this flamed out before it got ridiculous. Well, actually, it will get ridiculous next time.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyways, Batista and Rey fought Eminem for the WWE tag team titles. They built the whole match around a Batista hot tag. Shockingly, that went really well. Ray hit a 619 on Mercury. Melina tried to shield him, then got a Batista bomb. And so Batista and Ray are tag team champions.
Yeah, which, I mean, I get it. You know, it adds to the match on Sunday. But also, you're kind of risking a lot putting multiple titles on a guy who is clearly injured. I know they think he's going to be fine, which he's not going to be fine. But, you know, Lashley beat Paul Burchill, so kind of keeps his momentum rolling there. Matt Hardy's with Crystal. He's facing Booker T tonight. Booker's got some momentum going. JBL comes up and tells Matt to go post it on his website because no one cares, which is very funny. And then hits on Crystal, and Matt says that, you know, he doesn't like JBL because he keeps walking out on his tag partners, and then they get into a fight.
That clip by JBL is very funny.
Yes.
Matt definitely deserved that. I mean, it's a match of two assholes, but...
Sports psychologist tells Ted Long that Hell in a Cell is very barbaric. You should consider not running it.
What a nerd.
Yeah. You know?
What a nerd.
And then we get Booker T against Matt Hardy. JBL's on commentary, and he is facing Matt at Armageddon. Charmel distracted the ref, and JBL attacked Matt Hardy, leading to Booker getting the victory. Randy says that he's sure he wants to do this tonight, but he's going to go do it by himself. So he goes to the ring, says he's accomplished so much, and done more than most people have done in their entire lives. No one can kill the legend of The Undertaker. Randy doesn't want to be the one that tries because, you know, they were running Hell in a Cell highlights all night, and you can really see what Undertaker's done in these sorts of matches. Randy doesn't want to be in a wheelchair in 40 years because of attempted fate with The Undertaker. I'm going to go out on top and retire right now. You know, going to kill his own legend while he still can. Teddy Long comes out, says that if Randy doesn't show up for Armageddon, he's going to be sued for breach of contract. Randy doesn't really care. No one's going to change his mind. So an Undertaker finally comes out, and then we see Bob Orton.
It's a ruse.
Yeah, because we see Bob Orton in the aisleway. He's got the urn, and Undertaker's distracted. Randy beats him down and busts him open with the urn and says he'll see him on Sunday.
This was a good finale.
Yeah.
This was a good finale, but I think an angle that for the last 9 months has hit on pretty much every note.
Yes.
I really enjoyed this segment. I think it's one of the strongest that they ever did. Besides, I think the contract signing for Mania were Orton's spot taker.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I mean, they hit all the right notes here.
Yeah.
So they're going, this feud is going into Armageddon pretty strong. I think everything else has been so-so. I've liked the Batista and Ray against Kane and Big Show feud a decent amount, but this is definitely the strongest, and there's a reason why this ends up main eventing the show.
Yeah.
Okay, quick run-through of the NFL on December 18, 2005, my 14th birthday.
Oh, there you go.
So that's fun. Let's see. The Texans won their second game of the year, 30-19 over the Cardinals. Let's see. Anything else here? The Chargers beat the Colts 26-17 to hand them their first loss of the season. Michael Turner ran for an 83-yard touchdown that ensured the first loss of the year. They also sacked Peyton Manning four times and picked him off twice and held them to 24 rushing yards.
Mm.
So the Chargers are a thorn in the side of the Colts. Too bad that'll never continue happening.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Anyways, the Seahawks beat the Titans 20-24. Seattle clinched a first-round playoff by three touchdowns from Matt Hasselbeck and 172 yards from Sean Alexander. The Bengals beat the Lions 41-17. Carson Palmer threw three first-half touchdowns. They clinched the division title for the first time since they went to the Super Bowl back in 1988.
Hmm.
Surely good things will happen for the Bengals.
Yeah, things are looking very good for them.
That's gross. The Browns beat the Raiders 9-7. Washington beat Dallas 35-7. Mark Brunell threw four touchdown passes, three of which went to Chris Cooley before halftime. And afterwards, Bill Parcells refused to shake Joe Gibbs' hand.
Wow.
Got some coach fighting. And finally, the Bears beat the Falcons 16-3.
It's gross.
They apparently beat the crap out of Michael Vick all night.
Mm-hmm.
I think I remember that. Also, Rex Grossman made his first appearance of the season in relief of Kyle Wharton.
Hell yeah. Oh, man.
Okay. Let's do Armageddon now from the Dunk.
Yes.
In Providence, Rhode Island.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you know, opening package really focused a lot on Undertaker and Randy, which that's to be expected.
For the record, that End Is Here video package for Taker and Orton, magnifique. Fantastic.
Yeah, it's a good song.
So good.
I like it. One of the best, you know, pay-per-view songs that they've done.
Yes.
And I always liked when they used it, and I'm glad that we don't have to listen to Karrion Kross's theme ruin it anymore, because it was remixed.
This is true. It was.
Yeah, so we're opening with JBL and Matt Hardy. I don't know, like, it was a fun match. I only had, the one night of build, so it's like, it's fine. I think JBL cut a good promo at the beginning and kind of made fun of Matt Hardy some more, and that was funny, but, like, I don't know, match was kind of what it was. It was short.
This match and just, like, a couple others screamed, okay, we're down Eddie, unfortunately.
Yeah.
We're down Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
So there's one match somebody could have had, because I think they were building towards Kennedy and Matt Hardy, right?
Yeah.
So that could have been that. That could have had more heat, because Kennedy and Hardy had a longer build and they were doing some stuff with him. So
yeah,
that's what I think. Yeah, this was fine. It was a fine opener. They did what it had to do, but there was just no build line. So it was just a match.
Yeah, I mean, like, Matt didn't really get much in, so it feels like they might be heating JBL up a little more. Obviously, that doesn't really come to fruition.
It definitely doesn't. So I think also, like, I think a lot of these single brand shows that we're watching, especially on SmackDown, they're struggling.
Yeah.
I see the nostalgia with them. They're cool in that regard. Like, I can see why they moved away from it.
Mm-hmm.
I can see why they decided to, you know, merge everything together in 2007.
Yeah.
And even starting in 2006, really, when WECW comes around, too. They start doing more of those cross-branded shows and whatnot,
mm-hmm.
using other people on different brands. So remember, the Hardys weren't even on SmackDown, but they were at Armageddon 2006.
Yeah.
Next year.
Yep, so exactly.
They started more meshing. I get it. I understand.
Yeah. So we move along. You know, they're showing Hell in a Cell videos again tonight. Undertaker threw Mick Foley off the top of the cell. I don't know if you were aware of that.
He sure did.
So we get Eminem against the Mexicools, which, I don't know, like, this match is kind of weird when Eminem's not the tag champs anymore. I guess it's fine because it wasn't, like, going to be for the titles, but it's just two teams.
What's wrong with that?
You know? It could have been on SmackDown.
Give your tag team division some love.
Yeah.
It's one of the things they do right at
SmackDown. It wasn't bad. I mean, you know, it kind of an average tag team match. Yeah. You know, Eminem got the win. They're pretty clearly going to get the tag belts back, which they do, you know. Not in the way that was expected, I don't think, but, you know, they get them back sooner than people thought, too, but...
Backstage, we get an interview between Crystal Marshall and Booker and Charmel. Charmel is carrying the broom because they both believe they're going to sweep Benoit tonight,
mm-hmm.
In match four of their best of seven series. And Booker, you know, said he was going to walk out of Armageddon as the new U.S. champ, and also Charmel told Crystal to take the broom to get on it because she looks like a witch and accuses her of her being a witch. So I thought that was fun.
That was
pretty fun. So let me get that best of seven match. Goes pretty well. I mean, as you would expect, they did the same thing they did the one time where Booker had the visual tapping out. Charmel hit Benoit in the back with the broom, but he no-sold it. Came around eventually. Benoit countered into a DDT after Booker went for the bookend towards the end of the match. Slapped on the cripple crossface, tapped him out of 20 minutes. I think this was really good.
Yeah, I mean, I liked it. You know, I've liked all their matches so far.
We're not going to, you know, give glowing praise to Chris Benoit on this show, but this was a good match.
Yeah. And
now we can move on.
Yes.
Let's not further wax poetic or anything like that. We got another Hell in a Cell video. It was when Taker tossed Rikishi off the cell in the first and only ever six-man Hell in a Cell match.
Yeah.
I wish that they could have that kind of controlled chaos again. But
I agree. Teddy Long and Palmer Cannon come out. Talk about how great 2005 has been for SmackDown. And then Canon introduces Santa, an elf. And, Vito and Nunzio. And then the Boogeyman comes out and, you know, takes them both out.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, whatever. This is something else that happens on the single brand shows. You got to fill some time.
The Ortons were interviewed backstage. Randy talked about how if anybody knows about my names, it's him. He proved The Undertaker is not invincible and proved to everybody tonight that he's the Legend Killer and his fate and power rest in his hands. Obviously, as Bob handed him the urn. And then Lashley is in a handicap match with Regal and Burchill. Lashley wins. Don't need to go any further there, I don't think.
No.
So again, they're just pushing Lashley upward. And then this shit.
Yeah.
Take it from here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Josh Matthews was at the Friendly Tap Bar with former WWE referee Tim White. His life was ruined when he got injured in the Triple H Jericho Hell in a Cell match. And, you know, everything's been going poorly for him. And Tim White pulls out a shotgun and goes off screen. And Josh Matthews tells him not to do that. And we don't see what happens, but it is alluded to that Tim White shot himself on television. Didn't go over well. It's not in good taste. It didn't age well. It's going to continue, which is probably the worst part. I think all the ones that continued were on WWE.com. I don't think we're going to see any on television, but it did continue for a while. And yeah, I don't know what they were thinking with this one. Just
they definitely missed the mark on this.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't understand. I don't get how that's approved by anything.
No.
Just stupid.
Yeah, there's no reason for it. So we go back and we get Juventud against Kid Cash for the Cruiserweight title. Yeah, you know, kind of like you said, they're letting the Cruiserweights kind of go out there and do their thing. And, you know, Kid Cash gets the win and wins the Cruiserweight title. I know he's only been off Velocity for a couple weeks, but good for him, you know?
Yeah, I definitely agree there. You know, that, like we were saying, with regards to all of that, the stuff with the Cruiserweights is improving.
Yeah.
You can't argue that. They've been doing a lot of fun stuff here, and this match continued that.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt that, you know, I've been really enjoying the Cruiserweight stuff. I think I'm going to continue to do that once Gregory Helms comes over next month. And, yeah, everything's going to continue going upward for them. Even though we're only about, what? It's a year and a half away from the Great American Bash 07 where everything ends with Hornswoggle.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
all that nonsense. Once again, just, you know, pretty good stuff. So then we get the tag team match between Batista and Rey against Kane and Big Show. And Kane and Big Show eventually win at the mark of 8:37. They won because Kane hit Mysterio with a choke slam towards the end of the match.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this was, I think the injury for Batista kind of interfered with how good this match could have been.
Yeah.
Because they definitely seem to work around that, even though I don't think Kane and Big Show are going to be doing these epic tag matches, but this one felt a little underwhelming,
mm-hmm.
considering how much investment they put into it going into it.
Yes. Yeah. So we get another Hell in a Cell video, and then it's time for the main event. Undertaker against Randy Orton, Hell in a Cell. Really one of the better Hell in a Cell matches, I think.
Yes.
All not things considered. No. It's long, but, you know, I didn't not like it. You know, obviously remembered for Bob Orton bleeding and maybe giving hepatitis to Undertaker.
Yes.
Which will become a big story in the next couple months.
Correct.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know, like doing ref bumps and stuff and having other people get involved in a match like that that's designed to keep people out doesn't always work. I think it was okay here, but...
I think it was okay just because, like, it wasn't random. You kind of expected Bob Orton to get involved.
Yeah.
Maybe not the ref bumps, but you kind of expected it to happen.
Yeah.
Because the ref bump feels gratuitous, especially in a match where there's no disqualification anymore.
Yeah, and I think they had more than one ref bump as well, again, if I remember correctly, but...
Very
unnecessary. Yeah.
Unnecessary, but... this was, I think, a great cap to what I think has been a great feud. Probably the feud of the year. And probably as far as the Ruthless Aggression era so far, I would say it's one of the best feuds that we've covered in Profile.
Yeah, I would agree.
I think in, as far as, you know, matches, investment, segments, promos, this feud delivered in spades every time. You know, the SummerSlam match is what it is, but has a, you know, very infamous ending with Orton getting his win back, thanks to Cowboy Bob. But the in-between stuff from SummerSlam to now was phenomenal.
Yeah,
I agree. You know, definitely one of Orton's best rivals is Undertaker. Yes. And really the guy that, you know, made you look at Orton in a different light. You know, all due respect to Triple H, you know, matches was what it was, but Taker helped take Orton to another level. And, you know, just an iconic series of matches that we remember to this day. They did never link up again, which is an upsetting part of it, but, you know, it was wonderful for what we got.
Yeah, it's kind of surprising that they never, like, went back to this, because they were both around. I mean, I know, you know, Orton was mostly on Raw, but...
You have no idea how much Teenage Me wanted to see that match again.
Yeah, it's crazy, right?
I begged for it for years after this feud. They never crossed paths, like, again. It sucks.
Looks like they had a couple matches on Raw with, like, non-finishes in 2009, but that doesn't really count,
exactly,
you know?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah. No, overall, I mean, not a bad pay-per-view. I think the stuff you expected to be good was good, and then the other stuff was either short or inoffensive enough that it didn't really matter all that much.
Maybe I'll watch that match between Orton and Taker from Oracle.
Yeah, there you go.
I always forget that they've run Oracle before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I, like we said, I think this is probably feud of the year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With Angle, I think, being second.
Mm-hmm.
So what is it going to take her?
Yeah, I think he could be King of the Ring this week.
Let's
give
it to Taker. That works.
All right. Taker's King of the Ring. All right. Enjoy your Christmas. Enjoy Kwanzaa. Enjoy the holidays with your family, man. We'll be back the turn of 2022. God, the years run the same now. I am at Cameron Santo. Rob's at Robin031. Chris is at Chris M. Novak. At Barbara Chanel on Twitter and Instagram, facebook.com/barbershare digital. Subscribe to the Patreon, patreon.com/barbershare network. Thank you so much, as we head into year five of the show, of the network, in the 2006. What were we gonna see in the month of January? I don't know, but you can bank on it being amazing. Right here with this aggression for Rob and Chris, I'm Pierce. We'll see you guys later.
You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the smart savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple App or Google Play stores.